Thank you, Brenda. What a great testimony. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. Jesus is better than silver and gold. He's better than the world's applause. Surely better than all the sin that this world offers us. Nobody like Jesus. And I pray that He's your personal Lord and Savior today. We do welcome you for this webcast. We pray that you are being blessed this week and that God has been real to you and He's met your needs. We pray that as you spend time with us, as we sing and worship together, study God's Word, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and encourage you once again. Father, as we bow before you today, I pray for the precious Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Father, may the Holy Spirit take your word and enlighten our minds. May He take the music and bless our spirits. And Father, may you wrap together what takes place during these next few moments in such a way that each one of us draws closer to you, finds more about your will for our lives, and makes a deeper commitment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's Sunday morning, September 6 already. We welcome you to our webcast service. As usual, we'll have a hymn sing this morning, and we'll sing together a song of praise. And come, Christians, join and sing. Brenda?
Christians join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before this throne rejoice.
Good morning. I have some announcements this morning, and I'd like to pass along to you, please. The first one is the The pastor selection committee has submitted the name of Reverend Ed Louder to be full-time pastor at Barber's Grove, and we'll be voting on that next Sunday, the 13th. So if you need absentee ballots, you can do that by connecting, by contacting Jeanette Barbie and handle this way. Now, also remember that if you do an absentee ballot, you'll need to sign your ballot when you send it back in, okay? Now, NC Baptist Men's NC Offerings for the month of September will begin this month, this week, and we want to be sure that you all have a chance to contribute to that. There'll be envelopes, special envelopes, out front for you during our parking lot service this Sunday. So remember the NC Missions Offering. Also, the Stewardship Committee has asked that I remind you again, you department heads, that if you do have a change in your budget requirements for the ensuing year, we need to go ahead and make sure you contact them before next Sunday. They're going to be trying to finalize and work with the budget, so make sure that you contact a member of the Stewardship Committee if you do have a change in your requirements for next year. And that's all the announcements that I have at this time. I have some prayer requests that I would like to pass along to you so you can remember these people in prayer. Let's continue to remember Jeff Kay. Jeff Kay is, he just finished up his last surgery, and let's remember him, and he is doing much better. I talked to him, and he's doing just fine, but let's keep him in prayer, because he will have some soreness and some problems to deal with afterwards. Let's remember the Doug Sasser family. Certainly we want to pray for that family as they mourn the loss of their loved one. Let's continue to pray for Pam's mother. Pam's mother is very, very low, I understand, and we need to pray for her. Hospice is with her, and we need to continue to pray that God's will be done in her life. Earlene Burris, I talked with them this week, and she has started radiation treatments, and let's continue to pray as she battles cancer. Ronnie Louder, we have been asked to continue to pray for him, and Rick Crisco. Also, we need to remember the hurricane victims in Louisiana and Texas. There are people there still without shelter, without power, and during the heat of the season, and you imagine how miserable they must be. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our nation and its leaders. Continue during this time of the pandemic and other things that we are dealing with as well. Also, pray for our church. And as we are about to enter into a huge decision to make, and we need to keep our church in prayer as we go forward in Barber's Grove. All right, that's all the prayer requests I have at this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. And now, Lord, we want to thank you for an opportunity we have now, Lord, to again work and present a webcast to all those out there who will be listening. And we thank you, Lord, for our team and for their efforts as we make, Lord. We pray a special blessing upon Barber's Grove Baptist Church as we are entering into a time, Lord, of change. And, Lord, as we make a big decision and on our next vote, Lord, for our pastor, we pray for him. We lift up Pastor Ed to you. Continue to pray for him, Lord, as we go forward. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for the success that Jeff Kay has already presented to us and told us about his health, Lord, as the surgery has been completed and has been successful. And we praise your name for that. We ask you continue to pray for him. Doug Sasser, as we mourn the loss of Doug, and we pray, Lord, for the family as they are adjusting now, Lord, to Doug not being with them. But, Lord, we know that we have a promise that we can see Doug again someday. And as we remember, Lord, Pam's mother, as she is battling, Lord, and her life, Lord, is beginning to look like, Lord, that you're going to be calling her home. But, Lord, that's in your hands, and we know that, Lord, but we pray for her. Pray for the caregivers that are near and dear to her. And, Lord, we pray for them that they'll understand, Lord. And then we pray for hospice as they're working with her as well. Ask a special prayer, Earlene Burris, Lord, as she continues the battling cancer, Lord, with your guidance, Lord. We pray, Lord, that somehow, if it be your will, that you will, Lord, you'll touch her body as she deals with it. Ronnie Louder, we've asked, continue to pray for Ronnie, as do we Rick Crisco. And Lord, that we've been asked to remember, and certainly we need to remember all those people who are hurting because of the hurricane in Louisiana and Texas. We know, Lord, there's a lot of people that are displaced, and a lot of people hurting, a lot of people without power, a lot of people without shelter. And Lord, we pray for them today. Go with us now, Lord, as we further continue, Lord, in our webcast service today. We thank you, Lord, for Tonda as she'll come and sing for us. And we thank you for Pastor Ed and for Brenda and Wes. Thank you for the job they do each and every weekend. And now, Lord, we go forward, and everything that'll be done, Lord, we'll be very careful, Lord, to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. For we pray in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to another webcast. And, you know, the Lord gives us things and puts things in our paths just when we least expect. And when Leonard and I were conversing about singing today, I opened up our choir book and it failed to come morning. I don't think that was by accident. I think it was a God thing, because this is the month for Aunt Sally's birthday, which would have been the 21st, will be the 21st. And this was her favorite. So I think this was a meant to be for us to sing Come Morning for her.
God's children to love have been burdened. They
Thank you, Tonda, for our special music. And we have been blessed with wonderful music every time we've gathered to do a webcast, and every time we've gathered out in the parking lot to worship the Lord together. It's been a good time of music and fellowship together. This morning, I'm reminded that the devil is the world's ultimate and original recycler. He's been recycling the same lies and the same discouragement from the beginning of time. We're going to look at the 73rd Psalm in a moment. And there the devil told the same lies to Asaph, who was the psalmist for that psalm. Same lies to Asaph that he told to some of you this week. And you're going to recognize them as we look at this scripture. Now, I usually use the King James Version of the Bible, but today I just feel led to use the Passion Translation. It's a new translation, but it has so many wonderful phrases in it that helps us to really understand what's going on and what's being said that I felt led to help you to understand more about what lies the devil told, but what really happened. Now, the lies that we find here are the ones that say serving the Lord doesn't pay. Those people that serve the Lord, spend their time serving the Lord, giving to the Lord's causes, are fools. And that the people who live for the devil are the ones that are blessed, the ones that are happy, the ones that are doing well. And the devil says that to us so many times, like, just give it up, folks. Just quit. Being a Christian just isn't worth it. Now, he says in verse 1, no one can deny it. God is really good to Israel and to all those with pure hearts. So we know from that very first verse that he comes out all right in the end. So what he's going to share with us in the middle of the psalm is how he gets to that place of being aware of how God really is good to Israel and to all who have poor hearts. But then he makes a confession. I nearly missed seeing it for myself. He's real honest. Asaph says, you know, I almost missed it. I almost stumbled and fell. I almost made a fool of myself. And then he says, here's my story. I narrowly missed losing it all. I was stumbling over what I saw with the wicked. In other words, the devil had come to him and said, hey, look at these folks over there. Take a look at what they're doing. Take a look at what they're getting away with. Take a look at their lifestyle as compared to your lifestyle. And so here's what he saw. When I saw the boasters with such wealth and prosperity, I became jealous over their smug security, indulging in whatever they wanted, going where they wanted, doing what they wanted, and with no care in the world, no pain, no problems. They seemed to have it made. They lived as though life would never end. They didn't even try to hide their pride and opulence. Cruelty and violence is part of their lifestyle. Pampered, pompous, vice oozes from their souls. They overflow with vanity. They're such snobs, looking down their noses. They even scoff at God. They're nothing but bullies, threatening God's people. Loudmouths with no fear of God, pretending to know it all. Windbags full of hot air, impressing only themselves. Yet the people keep coming back to listen to more of their nonsense. They tell their cohorts, God will never know. See, he has no clue of what we're doing. These are the wicked ones I'm talking about. They never have to lift a finger, living a life of ease while their riches multiply. You catch the picture there he paints? He looks at these folks and he says, you know, they're wealthy. They oppress the little people, those that are under them. They laugh at God. They pretend that God is not even in existence or God pays no attention to what they're doing. And they bully those who do believe in God. Has the devil not ever come and whispered in your ear, look over there. Look how much money they have. Look at what they own. Look at where they're going. I know occasionally I'll see somebody on TV or read about somebody in a publication and they're laughing at God. They have an immoral, ungodly lifestyle and they made more money in 3 months than I'll make in my whole lifetime. And I think, you know, life just isn't fair. The devil says, you know, life isn't fair. Look at how ungodly they are. Look how much wealth and opulence they have. Look how much they own. Look at what they get to do that you can't do. Their money and their lifestyle is so different from yours. And you see these people all the time. Many of them, I see those verses. Yes, the people keep coming back to listen to more of their nonsense. I see some of these people that are looked upon as authorities. They're quoted as an authority, as somebody who really knows what's going on, as somebody who's a real expert. But as an expert in evil, and an expert in what the psalmist calls nonsense. They're experts, but it's not in godly things that they're experts. And so the psalmist, he says, I almost stumbled, I almost missed it. I looked at these folks and I saw their lifestyle and I saw how easy they had it and how blessed they seemed to be. And I began to wonder, am I on the wrong side? Folks, you ever feel like sometimes just chucking it all? If you can't beat them, join them. Well, the psalmist says in verse 13, have I been foolish to play by the rules and keep my life pure? Here I am suffering under your discipline day after day. I feel like I'm being punished all the day long. In other words, the psalmist says, I've been trying to live right. I've been trying to follow the Lord. I've been trying to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Was it worth it? Did it amount to anything? Have I wasted my time? And he talks about being punished or suffering under discipline. And you know, the Bible tells us that the chastening of the Lord, and the Lord chastens those he loves. It says if we're a child of God, there's going to be some time of discipline. There's going to be a times of correction. Or as Jesus talked about in the parable of the vine in John 15, there's going to be some times when God's going to have to clean us up, prune us a little bit. And God does it lovingly. He's not angry. He's not harsh. How many times we come in a place in life and the Lord just has to say to us, you're messing up. I wrote about that in the newsletter for this week that we have to do a checkup every so often, a reevaluation of our life and say, Lord, am I putting the first things first? And the Lord likes for us to do that, and he very lovingly does that. I was sharing with someone last night how this has worked in my own life. Now, I'm one of those folks that used to just love the morning newspaper. I mean, sometimes I'd be out there I knew the guy came early, I'd be out there at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to catch it before it hit the ground when he threw it out. And that was just my thing. Grab that paper and spend time reading all through it. And one morning as I started to charge out the door, the Lord said, Ed, could you make me a little cake first? You remember the story of the prophet who goes to the widow lady and says, make me a cake. And she says, I just got enough meal and oil and to feed my son and myself one last meal, and then we're going to starve. And he says, make me a little cake first. And of course she did. And she and the prophet and her son lived all through the famine. In other words, she put the will of God first. And the Lord was saying to me, Ed, nothing wrong with the morning newspaper, but how about putting me first? Now that was correction. And I did that. I'd sit down with my Bible or my devotional books and spend some time with the Lord. And then I would go out and get the paper. Or if the weather was bad, I might go get the paper, but then just lay it somewhere apart and do my time with the Lord first. Well, you see, the psalmist has said, I've been trying to serve the Lord and sometimes he corrects me. And I wonder, is it all worth it? Is it all worth it? And I know that some of you listening to me today, there are times the devil will come to you and say, serving the Lord is not worth it. It's not worth it. Look over there at all of those folks that are doing so well, not serving the Lord. Look how they're prospering. Serving the Lord is not worth it. So he goes on to say, if I had given in to my pain and spoken of what I was really feeling, it would have sounded like unfaithfulness to the next generation. He said, if I'd have talked about it, if I'd acted it out, the kids, the young people that looked at my life would have been messed up. And folks, we have to be careful. The times when we most don't notice or don't think about it, there are kids that are watching us, children, grandchildren, neighboring kids. Last week I told a story about a family that I noticed, you know, when I was like 12, 14 years old. They're in my church. It's just amazing how many stories I can remember of men and women in West Albemarle growing up. Good examples, bad examples. So the psalmist was aware that if he'd given in to his feelings, it would have ruined his witness. And then he says, when I tried to understand it all, I just couldn't. It was too puzzling, too much of a riddle to me. He just shook his head and said, I just don't understand it. At this point, he's befuddled. He's questioning. The devil has got him sort of on the fence, and he's about ready, if the devil can work on him a little bit more, push him in the wrong direction. But then what happens? Verse 17, but then one day I was brought into the sanctuaries of God, and the light of glory, my distorted perspective vanished. He said, I got in the presence of God. I took time to get into the presence of God. Now, he says it happened to him in the sanctuary, in the church. Of course, for him, it would have been the temple. For us, it would be the church. And how often our eyes are opened as we come and fellowship with the Lord in his house, with his people, and his word being proclaimed and his word being sung, and God speaks to us and opens our understanding. But it doesn't have to be in a church. It could be in your own private Bible time, your own private walks with the Lord, your own private talks with the Lord, wherever. I think about a few moments ago, Brother Leonard mentioned my mother-in-law, Helen, and how near death she is. She grew up in a family that was mostly not Christian. But an Aunt Sue led her to the Lord. And then each evening, Helen's chore as a little girl was to go out on the mountain and find the family cow where it ever had wandered, bring it in for the evening milking. And that walk out to the woods and the fields looking for the cow was Helen's time with the Lord. That's when she grew. That's when Jesus became more real to her. That's when she learned from the Lord and learned to love Him. You see, when we make opportunity for God to speak to us, then how precious it is that He does speak to us. Because He's far more eager to speak to us than we are to listen. And so the psalmist says, you know, I was puzzled, I was troubled, I was bewildered, but I went into the presence of God and He began to speak to me and I began to understand. He says, then I understand that the destiny of the wicked was near. They're the ones who are on the slippery path. God will suddenly let them slide off to destruction, to be consumed with terrors forever. It will be an instant end to all their life of ease, a blink of an eye, and they're swept away by sudden calamity. They're all nothing more than momentary monarchs, soon to disappear like a dream when one awakes. When the rooster crows, Lord God, you'll despise their life of fantasies. When I saw all this, what turmoil filled my heart, piercing my opinions with your truth. In other words, God opened His eyes and He lets see what the ultimate end of these evil people were. You remember in this scripture, Jesus tells a parable. In fact, it may not be a parable. Some folks think it was a real experience of people that Jesus knew, about a rich man and Lazarus. Rich man had everything he wanted. Said he fared sumptuously every day. And Lazarus, the beggar, laid at the rich man's gate. Just begging for crumbs. But one day, death came. Lazarus went to glory. The rich man went to torment. How quickly their experience changed. And then there's the other parable that Jesus told about the man who said, my crops are so good, my barns won't hold them. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And then I won't ever have to work again. And Jesus makes the comment, tonight his soul was required of him. Then who's going to own all of that? It's interesting how many people have had great fortunes in their lifetime. But when the lifetime was over, somebody else owned the fortune. And so the psalmist, as he spends time with God, he sees the ultimate end of the ungodly. And he realizes that, you know, I almost messed up. I almost messed up, Lord. I was about to go join this ungodly crowd because that's what the devil was telling me ought to do. He says, I almost messed up. And then he says, yet in spite of all this, you comfort me by your counsel. You draw me closer to you. You lead me with your secret wisdom. And following you brings me into your brightness and glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? You're all I want. No one in earth means as much to me as you. Lord, so many times I fail, I fall into disgrace. But when I trust in you, I have a strong and glorious presence, protecting me and anointing me. Forever, you're all I need. Suddenly he realizes, what he has in his relationship with the Lord. That relationship with the Lord is so precious. He said, I'd rather have the Lord than anything else. What did we have Brenda play? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Rather have Jesus than houses or lands. Rather have Jesus than the world's applause. This psalmist suddenly realized that compared to what these evil people had, even in their prosperity, what he had with the Lord was so much greater, so much more wonderful, so much more eternal. Because when we leave this world, we're leaving all the riches behind, but we still have our relationship with the Lord. And those who leave this world with no relationship with the Lord are in for a world of trouble, a world of hurt, a world of torment. But those who leave this world with a relationship with Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they've got a wonderful, wonderful eternal future. He said, Lord, you're glorious to me. You protect me. You anoint me. You're all I need. And then he goes on to reiterate, a recap. Those who abandon the worship of God will perish. The false and unfaithful will be silenced, never heard from again. But then he makes his commitment. I'll keep coming closer and closer to you, Lord Yahweh, for your name is good to me. I'll keep telling the world of your awesome works, my faithful and glorious God. What a commitment. He said, Lord, I realize how much I almost missed, how I almost messed up, how close I was to ruining my life. And now that I realize that, I'm making a commitment. I'm going to hold on to you more and more and more because you're what I need. And then in addition to that, I'm going to tell everybody else what a good, wonderful, glorious God you are. Now you see, the devil tells you the same lies, the very same lies. And whether he does it in such a way that you just immediately join him, or whether he just gradually leads you away, the end result is not good. But when we spend time with the Lord and begin to understand and begin to realize how precious our relationship with him is, then our whole life changes. We live in a day when all you have to do is turn on your TV to see the ungodly prosper. And Christians ridiculed. And people that try to live right called names like Goody Two Shoes. You see, people that stand for what's right laugh to scorn. But folks, this isn't the end. There's coming a day when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And those of us who acknowledge that now in this life will do it gladly with great rejoicing. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ now will do it. They'll acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they'll do it with great sorrow because they'll know then what they missed. I think the Lord put this psalm in there sometimes just for me. Because I've read it a number of times over the years and the Lord keeps reminding me. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is God's great reward to those who love him. And so I encourage you. When the devil recycles one of those lies to you, just laugh at him and say, devil, I know it's a lie, and I'm just going to keep right on serving you. Not you, but the Lord. I'm going to keep right on serving my Jesus Because, Lord, devil, I'm looking for the end result. Not a fast payday. I'm looking at the ultimate reward. Oh, he'll lie to you, and if you ignore him, he'll come back in a few years, and somebody else will have a big boat or a big something that you wish you had, and the devil will lie to you again. But just keep reminding yourself, the only life that's worth living is the one where Jesus is Lord. Father, as we bow before you today, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for all the promises that are made to us, that as we serve him, ultimately, we're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." I thank you, Father, for the crowns that are laid up in heaven for those that love you. Father, I thank you that the devil's lies don't have to cause us to trip and stumble and fall. I thank you, Father, for that precious Holy Spirit who speaks words of correction to our hearts, words of love when we're hurting, words of instruction when we need them. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.